Thank you so much. I love the Lord. He's so good. And, you know, through all this that we're going through, I feel a peace. I feel peace and comfort from Him, and I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm just going to sing whatever pops in my head. I'm at that age. Sometimes things pops in, and sometimes they don't pop in at all. This week or whenever it was at a revival, and a preacher asked me if I knew a certain song. I hadn't sung it in years. I did that night. Love this song, The Prodigal Son. Like the prodigal son, I wandered in darkness and traded my life for a worldly good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. And I got so tired eating after the swine, so I believe I'll go. Good Shepherd saw through the heat and the cold, the nighty and night he left in the fold, just to find the servant, and I love to be his servant, and I don't have to be in a pig lot to be his servant. I'll be willing to, though. If that's where he wants me, that's fine, but he's blessed us a whole lot more than that, hasn't he? Here's a song that a few years back my pastor asked me to, if I thought I could learn this song, and I said, I'd heard it, and I really liked it, too. And he loves this song, and I do too, At the Cross, a new version of a song called At the Cross. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. Streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross.
Without
sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where your grace is found, that's where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. That's a great song. Why did he go to Calvary? thank you. He loves us this morning.
Play another hand. This is actually the second time this week Bobby Ray and I've got to do ministry together. I'm excited about that. Bobby Ray said that he's going to be retiring, and he said if I'd keep practicing at my preaching, we might could take this show on the road. So we'll see how that goes. Amen. But I really appreciate Bobby Ray this morning. I'm glad Miss Diana can be here and enjoy the music, not have to stand on her foot. That's just a blessing. This morning, I want to talk to you, if you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 5. Bobby Ray, you've already heard this, but it won't hurt you to hear it again. Amen. I want to talk to you about the fun of a farewell party. The fun of a farewell party. As we look at chapter 5 of Luke, we see that Jesus there is describing a farewell feast leading to future fellowship. A farewell feast leading to future fellowship. As we see this story here, and as we look at it in Luke chapter 5, we know that Jesus has been calling the disciples to follow him. We know that in the face of Jesus' miracles, his power, the authority he was preaching with, that Peter's fallen on his face. He has said, "Away from me, Lord, for I am sinful." He realized his condition before Jesus, and Jesus says, "Follow me." And it says that Peter and Andrew, James and John, they got up, they left everything behind, and they followed Jesus. As we think about this idea of following Jesus into fellowship, what we see here in this text is that Jesus calls, Levi celebrates, the Pharisees and scribes, they complain, and then Jesus explains. That's kind of the way this story is laid out here. So if you will, look at verse 27, chapter 5 of Luke today as I read. It says, after that, in other words, after Jesus had been teaching, preaching, healing, after he had called some of the disciples, it says, after that, he went out and he noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind, got up, and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent." And they said to him, "The disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "You cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he was also telling them a parable. "No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. For he says, the old is good enough." Let us pray. Kind Father, as we look at this text this morning, I pray that you would just guide and direct us to rethink how we follow you, to rethink our attitude, to rethink our devotion, to rethink our commitment to celebrating the new life that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at these first two verses this morning, Jesus calls us to say farewell and to have fun following him. Amen. How many of y'all have fun being a Christian? You know, Eddie Odom used to always tickle me because he used to stand up here and look out at y'all and he'd say the same thing every Sunday. Are y'all happy? And y'all would go, and he'd say, well, tell your face, right? You need to smile. It's fun being a Christian. It can be fun, but sometimes we don't realize that. But what we got to do is realize that we have to have a farewell party sometimes. We have to say goodbye to our past failures and embrace our new future that Christ gives us. And this is what happens here. It says after Jesus went out, he noticed. This word notice here is that means he was looking at him. He was paying attention to him. He was wanting to examine him real closely. It doesn't mean he just looked over there and saw it. It says that he noticed him. He gazed at him. He looked at him to understand who he was. And he looked and says what? He is sitting at the tax table. He is in his tax booth. You know what? When Jesus looks at us, Jesus does not see our past failures. He sees the future he's calling us to live. He didn't see a tax collector that was shunned from the rest of the community. He didn't see a social reject. He didn't see a man that had sold his inheritance to buy a franchise from the Roman government so that he could make money and be loyal to the government instead of to his family tradition. Jesus didn't see any of this. He saw the man that he was calling to have a party in a few minutes. When Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see what we used to be. He sees what he can make us into be. And part of having fun following Jesus is learning every day that Jesus is making us into what he already said we were when he saved us. That is the blessing that we have here. It says here, he noticed this tax collector. His name is Levi. We know from the Old Testament that because of his name, he's probably from the tribe of Levi. His job would be to sit there and intercede between man and God and help explain the word of God to a man and also help bring penance of humanity to God. This was all his job. Instead of that, he had forfeited all this. He had become a tax collector. He was showing his loyalty to Rome. And the way this worked, you paid so much for this franchise, and then they would tell you how much to collect. You would collect the taxes and the poll taxes. He's in a booth here in Capernaum. He's probably in a place where as they come in to sell their goods or they're leaving or as they're traveling by with the road tax, he's collecting this tax. But, you know, the way you make your money and make your money back, if Tim was passing by there and his road tax was going to be $5, I might charge him $10. Or I might, you know, needed a little more money, so I might charge him $12. And I'd keep the rest. So because of this, the word tax collector took on the notion of being a liar and a crook, is the way people saw them. They didn't want to associate with them. That left tax collectors pretty much associating with other tax collectors. Amen? Well, before we get saved, we what? Associate with other sinners. Why? Because we live in the same lifestyle. We don't really know no different. But when God calls us and has compassion on us, calls us to follow him, the first thing we got to do is say farewell and leave some things behind. It says right here that he saw him sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. You know what that means? Follow me. All right? Follow me. And it says here that he, being Matthew or Levi, we know from Matthew's gospel that Matthew and Levi is the same person, he left everything behind, got up, and began to follow him. The reason we don't have fun following Jesus sometimes is because we got too much stuff between us and Jesus. Think about it. He had his position as a tax collector. He had his wealth. He had his own little thing going. He was kind of comfortable. Everything's all right. But when Jesus called him to follow him, he left all that behind. You know, the only way we can have fun following Jesus is if there's nothing between us and Jesus. If we're following Jesus so closely that if Jesus stopped for something, we would run into him. Now, wouldn't that be a fun way to live life? We would be close to Jesus. If we're close to Jesus, Jesus will keep us clean. We've already seen here that he cleansed the leper. He also forgave Peter. He has the authority to forgive us. He has the power to cleanse us. We need to be close to him. There doesn't need to be anything between us and Jesus. And you say, well, so I got to give up all my friends. Not necessarily. You say, well, I got to give up my job. Not necessarily. You say, well, I got to give up all the fun I had. You know, we think to be a Christian, the first thing we got to do is say farewell to all our fun, the things we used to do. You don't have to give up everything. You just have to leave it behind and have nothing between you and Christ Jesus. Some of those things you won't do no more. Why? It was sinful. It was unrighteous. Some of those things you might not do for a while because why? You don't know how to do them the correct way. You've always done them either with selfish ambition or you've done them, you'd go to do these sports things or do something else because what? Some of us used to like to party, you know? We didn't really care who was playing ball. You go party, right? I mean, you see that happen. It might be the same way with camping, hunting, or whatever. You know, and as you learn to follow Christ, you learn that Christ can be the center of anything you do. Whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whether it's your recreation, when you follow Christ closely, you can learn that you have fun because there's nothing separating you from the fellowship with Christ. This is what happened here. Well, we don't have to say farewell to all our fun. Look what Levi did in verse 29. It says he gave a big reception or a big party. This word reception takes with it the notion of being a feast, like a wedding feast, a reception. It's a big spread. Did he give up all his money? No, somebody had to pay when the pizza man showed up there to deliver the food, right? He paid for that. He gave it where? At his house. He invited his friends. We find here that we can have fun by celebrating the fellowship of a new future. Jesus gave Matthew or Levi a new future. He forgave his past. He's leading him into a new future, a new way of living, a new way of having fun. And what does Levi do? It says here that there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people reclining with them at the table. This idea of reclining at the table is the understanding of fellowship in first century Jewish culture. I mean, if you reclined at the table with someone, there was fellowship, there was fun, there was camaraderie, there was communication back and forth. And what did Matthew do? He invited his old friends. See, we don't have to give up our old friends, we just got to give up our old ways. And we want to invite our new friends to have fun following Christ also. See, sometimes we think, well, I can't have nothing else to do with him, I'll just sit here and not do nothing. You know, that makes us miserable. Not doing nothing but trying to please God and not do nothing wrong is not fun. What we do, we replace our past activities with the new activities Christ gives us to do. One way of doing that is what? Call our friends to understand the compassion that Christ has had on us. The compassion he had on Levi was what? He looked at him. He saw who he was. He forgave his past and called him to follow him. We want to tell other people, I don't care what you have done in the past, Jesus does not look at past failures. He forgives them. And he calls you into future blessings and fellowship with him. So as Levi is celebrating, we see here that we can do two things. When we get saved, and Jesus calls us to follow him, we can be committed Christians who celebrate life in Christ. Amen? Y'all believe that? You ought to smile. We can be happy. Or we can what? Complain. Now, how many people used to complain? None of y'all? Okay. Now, complaining is one thing we should leave behind. Amen? Now, how many of you still complain? Need a little more honesty. All right. Well, here, what we see is Levi celebrates, but the Pharisees and the scribes, they begin complaining. It says the Pharisees and the scribes begin grumbling. This idea of grumbling is the understanding of complaining. They was complaining at his disciples. We complain, or this word grumble is like the Old Testament. Israelites would grumble against Moses, against Aaron, against Miriam, even grumble against God when they weren't happy. But usually when they weren't happy, instead of grumbling against God, what they do? They grumbled against Moses. One time Moses even got mad, and he was so mad at them for complaining, he sinned against God. Y'all remember that? Well, here we see that the Pharisees and the scribes, they are holy, they're godly, they're respectable. They don't like what's going on, and they want to complain. But instead of complaining to God, what do? They complain to his disciples. Now, how often do we get caught up in complaining like that? We don't like things that's going on, and we look around. We're not really going to say, Lord, I just don't really like the way church is going. I don't really like the way my life is going. I can't complain to you, so I'm going to look around and find somebody else to complain to. That might be why they invented Facebook. Amen. There's a lot of complaints, right? Another thing we do sometimes, we complain about other people. We look at other people to compare to ourselves, and we complain about them. This is what the Pharisees is doing right here. The Pharisees and the scribes, they complain. Verse 30 says that they were grumbling, and the reason was they were saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? This word here translated sinners is a word that means irreligious. In other words, these people that are not religious like we are, these people that are not practicing their religion like we are. And when they say this, Jesus says to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've called them to repentance. In other words, I've not come to call the self-righteous, those that think they're righteous, those that think we are doing this right. I've come to call sinners to what? To repentance. We see something happening here. He calls Matthew to leave his old way of life, follow Christ into a new way of life. How's that done? By repenting, by turning away. The idea of repentance is the idea of understanding that I have had a change of life due to a change in my thinking and my attitude towards sin and righteousness. Before I was saved, do you know how easy it was for me to go through life and think I was happy? Why? Because I defined what was good and what was bad, what was good and what was evil. We define it ourselves. But as self-righteous people, we could say, well, I'm not doing as bad as Bobby is, or I'm not doing as bad as Gilbert is. I'm doing pretty good. They need to follow my example. Well, when I do that, I'm saying I'm okay. But once we get saved and Christ lets us see ourselves as he sees us, then it's easy for us to understand that we need to repent, leave our old ways of thinking, living, and acting behind, and follow him into a new way of life. When Christ gives us a new life, we have to learn to live new. When you bring a baby home from the hospital, you've got to teach that baby how to live, how to eat until he or she can take care of herself. As newborn Christians, we have to depend on other Christians to show us and teach us about Christ and how Christ wants us to live. Now, here's where we have to be careful. Discipleship in the church is important, but you do not want to determine how other people live by your example. You need to determine how they live by Christ's example. You need to be pointing them to Jesus. Here's what the Pharisees, they've made up all these rules through the Old Testament times about how to keep God's law so I'll be righteous before God. When he's talking in a minute about fasting, they had already took something you're supposed to do once a year, and they was doing it twice a week. They done it on Mondays, and they done it on Fridays. They were saying, you got to do it this way. When they are looking at these tax collectors having fun with Jesus, eating, they like, well, this can't be right because we don't do it that way. Often what we do in church as believers, we look around, and when things are changing a little bit, and they're not going the way we want to, we do what? We start complaining. What we need to do is look and see what Christ is doing and celebrate as we join in the new things that Christ is doing. And this is what Jesus teaches us. Jesus explains that we should choose the new over the old. Verse 33, he said to them, the disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same. But yours, they eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Jesus is comparing his presence and fellowship with a bride and a groom at the third stage of their marriage. After they are married, there's a week celebration, and during that week, there's feasting, there's partying with the relatives, with the friends. What Jesus is saying here is when you're in the fellowship of Jesus, you don't need to fast. You don't need to be sad. You don't need to be glooming. Fasting is for setting something aside so you can focus on God. When you're with Christ in these times, you can enjoy it. And he goes on to say, but the time is coming when the bridegroom will be taken away. Just to fast forward to that, he's fast forwarding to the cross. Between the cross and the resurrection, he says that his disciples, they will fast and pray then. Why? Because of my absence. But then Christ is what? Resurrected. So we can what? Celebrate with him again. So it's nothing wrong with fasting, setting aside a time that you set something aside so every time you think of it, you want to focus on God and what you're praying for right now and what you're doing. Good example of that right now, we can fast. There's a lot of things we can't do. It's a lot of places we can't go no more. There's a lot of things we can't buy no more. There's a lot of things we'll have to change our routine during the week to accommodate all these new restrictions that's put on us. Now, are we going to complain about those things? Or when our situation and schedule is changed next week, every time you say, well, I usually go over here, oh, yeah, I can't go, wouldn't that be a good time to pause and say, Lord, thank you for looking after us. Thank you for looking after our nation. Lord, this is the time I just want to pray that you draw America back to you. Lord, this is just the time that I want to thank you. All the time that we get freed up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, how many of us will be willing to use that to spend more time with Jesus? This is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying there is a time to mourn. That's when we realize our sin. But when we ask Jesus to forgive us our sin, when we understand the weight of our sin, we say, Jesus, forgive me, and Jesus forgives us. Bobby Ray just sung about that. Sin and shame is what? Done away with at the cross. When Jesus forgives us, it's time to start living new. It's time to start enjoying a new life. The only way we can have fun following Jesus is learn to enjoy the newness that he gives us. And we enjoy that by leaving the old behind. He gives two parables here. First, he says that he was telling them also a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he'll tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. He's talking about their religious duties. He's talking about the way that they conducted religion. He's not just comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's comparing the old ways of doing things. The Pharisees done things the old ways. They'd added all these rules to how they was going to worship, how they would be right before men instead of God. In other words, they said, you know, I'll be a good Christian long as I act real solemn, long as I don't cuss, long as I don't do things I shouldn't, or long as nobody sees me doing them. That's what they was doing. They was walking around seeking the approval of men instead of the approval of God. That's the old way of doing things. Jesus is not saying to do away with the law in the Old Testament, because Jesus said he come to fulfill the law. Jesus come to this earth and live the life that we failed to live. That's why he can die for our failures and forgive us and give us a new life to celebrate living with Him in a new way. So we need to be able to let go of the old and embrace the new. Does that mean that we get a new message? No, the message never changes. Sometimes our methods might change. Our circumstances might change. And he goes on to say this. Verse 37, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. It'll be spilt, and the skins will be ruined. But the new wine is put into fresh wineskins. When you made wine, you would make the wine and the sugar from the grapes, you would put it all into a fresh wineskin made out of goat skin or sheep skin. And as it fermented, it would swell the new skin. It would stretch as it stretched. As the wine fermented, it would stretch as much as it needed to. Once the wine was fermented, it would kind of hold its shape, and there's the wine. What Jesus is saying, if you've got an old wineskin, it's already stretched. You've already used it. It's already dry. It can't stretch no more. If you put new wine in it, when it starts fermenting and stretching, it'll what? It'll bust the old skin, and the skin's ruined, and what? The wine spills out. Jesus then says you need to put new wine into new skins. If Jesus is give you a new life, you need to leave that old life behind that you had and start living the new life that Christ has given you. If you've got ways that you think this gets my approval from God, this is what I need to do. I got to go to church. I got to stay. When church is over, then I can go. And then I'll come back next Sunday. Or I got to teach Sunday school. Or I got to mow the churchyard. Or I got to do this, or whatever it is. If you think, I got to do this, and especially like the Pharisees, if you think, now everybody else has got to do what I've always seen them doing in the church. If you think that, and you're trying to celebrate and put new life into that, you're going to do what? Ruin both. You're going to be unhappy, and you're going to make everybody else unhappy. The new life with Christ, the rules don't change about who Christ is and how we should follow him. What changes is the life around us. And as it changes, we need to adjust as long as we adjust to God's word. We don't want to adjust God's word to our lives. We adjust our lives to God's word. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. They had determined what looked religious to them, and they thought everybody else had to follow that. How nice would it be just to go out into the neighborhood, share the gospel with people, invite people into church, and expect just to see people get saved? Have you ever thought about coming to church and I ain't got to worry about making out new lists or new schedules today on Sunday morning? I ain't got to worry about that. I ain't got to worry about talking about what we're doing next week in church. All I got to do is be here, smile, welcome people, and pray for somebody to get saved today. When was the last time you come to church that way? This is what made Levi so happy. He's like, I done found somebody that forgive my past. They gave me a new future. You need to come meet him. We call that evangelism. There's only three patients that Jesus can't say heal. That's the ones that don't know Jesus is the great physician. Those who don't admit they need Jesus. What about you this morning? If you've been complaining about your life, about church, about your family, or you just complacent, you think this is good as it's going to get, I'll just keep living like this, maybe Christ will come back one day. If you're complaining or complacent, have you ever thought about meeting Jesus? I just need you to change my life. I've got so focused on my circumstances, I haven't focused on my relationship with you. And the others is those who do not accept the diagnosis. If you go to the doctor tells you you got bronchitis and you need this antibiotic, and you don't take the antibiotic, do you have the right to blame the doctor that you don't get well? If Jesus says the reason we are not happy is because we're not willing to embrace the newness of life that he gives us, and if we're not willing to embrace that, and we just keep going through life doing things over and over, week after week, day after day, the same as we always had, and we're complaining about not being happy, do we have the right to blame Jesus? No. This is the gift that we have. Verse 39 explains their attitude because Jesus knew what y'all was thinking this morning. Jesus says, no one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. What Jesus means by this, in the first century you made wine, everybody thinks, well, we had to have wine for the party. No, you made wine and you fermented it, you let it so you could save it, preserve it. When it says the old is good enough, a lot of times if you say wine was good, what you meant was it won't hurt me. That's good. That's why they watered it down for meals. They did different things with it. And here he says the reason we are not willing to have fun following him is because we often say the old is good enough. What I've been doing is good enough. Christ forgave me. I'm getting along. This is good enough. That's my question for you this morning. Is the old good enough? Or do you want new life, fresh life? I know most of y'all in here, and I know y'all saved this morning. If you're listening to this online, I'm going to ask y'all to bow your heads. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your past failures, this morning just simply say, Lord, I know I've not lived life your way. I believe you come, live my life the way I should have. You lived in my place. Lord, the death I deserved, you died for me. And I believe God raised you to prove that I could have new life. And I'm asking you to give me a new life and help me have fun following you. If you've prayed that, you're saved. If you're here today and you've been saved a long time, but you haven't been having fun, you've just been kind of going through the motions, your duty to Christ has turned into drudgery. You seem to be more tired of church than you are happy to get to go. Ask the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I'm tired of being satisfied with the old. I'm ready for something new. I hear your call. I hear you calling me to follow you. Lord, I'm asking you to help me today begin following you into the new of the future. Let next week be a week of celebration. Help me share how great it is to be saved by you and to follow you. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning that you come to seek and save the lost, that you come to call sinners to repentance, that you were not satisfied leaving us in our failures, but to call us in the newness of life. Lord, I pray now that each of us will spend more time with you this week in prayer, in scripture reading, and in fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. So draw me near. Of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. And there are heights of joy that I may not reach till till I rest in peace with thee. So draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Y'all give Bobby Ray a hand.
Mm-hmm, thank you.